But joining us every couple of weeks, nutritional consultant Pam Colleen. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
I am well. Are you a hot sauce person?
I love hot sauce.
Do you know the hot sauce, the sriracha?
No, I don't. I heard you talking about it. I'm not familiar with that name.
All right. It's this Asian sauce, and it has a kick to it, but it also has some flavor. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting. And I first started using it. I read an article on it. I was like, I better try this. And we tried it. And my wife and I love it. I'm like, oh my gosh, you could put this stuff on everything. And then I read this story about the neighbors around the hot sauce factory are complaining this week. And so like the government out there in Irwindale, California, which is outside of Los Angeles, has to shut down the factory. And I thought, what a bizarre little story.
Well, you know, I live in London, Ontario. Coming out of the Labatt Brewery, right? I mean, you're downwind from that brewery, and it just stinks.
Well, and London was fascinating because there was McCormick's, which made spices, but also McCormick's made cookies, and then next to the Kellogg's, which made cornflakes and other cereals, depending where you were in London and how the wind was blowing, you had a couple of different smells coming at you. And it was all about food. And the brewery was right there. So it was all about whatever was, you know, being made that week and whatever which way the wind was blowing. You were, oh yeah, it's Rice Krispie Day. You could tell. Hey, you sent me a great video. Dr. Oz often gets not pilloried, but he gets taken to task a lot because he's got this platform and there's a lot of people thinking, you're not exactly Mr. Responsible. That's, you know, that's not exactly responsible broadcasting there. Dr. Oz, you sent me the clip where a doctor comes on and he has this new book talking about carbs and the effect on your brain. Forget your body, but blood sugar and the effect on your brain. And the contention that carbs causes Alzheimer's, but good for Dr. Oz to at least allow the guy to come on and explain his theory and rethink some of his previous position on both fat and also whole grain. Because it's not just sugar. We've talked about, oh, sugar is terrible and what it can do for the body and the inflammatory response. But he talked about, no. It's most carbohydrates. Most carbs are not good.
Poison to the brain.
Yeah.
And in that reference that you're making to the Dr. Oz show, they were really focusing in on things like Alzheimer's and dementia. But quite honestly, it's more far-reaching than that, because what they're pointing out is that we need these animal fats in order to support the brain in general. And just look at how many problems we're seeing out there today with regards to our mental health. We're not just seeing increasing rates of dementia and Alzheimer's. We're seeing Parkinson's. We're seeing ADD, ADHD. We're seeing depression, anxiety. We're seeing all sorts of mood issues going on out there. And I've been teaching a class now for many years called How to Fix a Broken Brain, and it's just about that. It's about how damaging the carbs are to the brain when you eat them in excess, and how nourishing the fats, the animal fats in particular, are to the brain. And unfortunately, because of the commercialization of the edible oil industry and because of the commercialization of the grain industry in general, we're not getting the truth about nutrition from experts, from our universities, from our governments, and we're not getting it through the media as well. So unfortunately, we've all been conned into following a diet high in carbohydrates. But in reality, what they should be touting is truly a healthy diet, which is a diet that's based on history. And throughout history, Tom, we have always enjoyed animal fats. It's only until recently that they've been wrongly demonized. We've been reducing them in the diet. And then we see, of course, all of the fallout from it with regards to our mental and physical health.
Yeah, Dr. David Perlmutter is a neurologist. Mm-hmm. So he understands, obviously, the full functionings of the brain, and his book is called Grain Brain. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, the other guest I have talking about nutritional aspect talked to the author of Wheat Belly last week. And so it's one thing, it's like, yeah, wheat is not great for a digestive tract. Here's what can happen. And it's not just necessarily gluten, and this is all that can do. And, you know, you may not feel great. But this takes it a step further in terms of it goes away from the belly right to the brain in terms of this is the problem. And Dr. Perlmutter, you know, went on and said, said a lot of things in terms of there's healthy oils out there. There's healthy fats you can eat. Fats have been wrongly demonized. And one of the things he said to the shock of the audience was, yeah, butter. Butter is your friend. People were just like, what? That's insane. Yeah. And Dr. Oz even was, come on. He's like, no, here's why. Yeah. Here's why butter's your friend.
You know, I give Dr. Dr. Oz credit, because a few years ago, remember, I think we had a chat about this. Gary Taubes was on Dr. Oz a few years ago. And quite honestly, Dr. Oz did not treat Gary Taubes with the respect that he deserves.
Well,
right?
because Perlmutter's another doctor. Yes, so, you know, that respect doctors have.
All of a sudden, Dr. Oz seems to be saying, maybe Gary Taubes was right. And indeed, he is saying that. So he's eating crow. Dr. Oz is eating crow. He's saying he's been wrong about promoting a high carbohydrate, low fat diet.
And he's not the only one. I mean, we'll get into what Sweden did in a second. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting in terms of, and I go back to that maybe we labeled everything wrong in terms of the fear of fat was the fear of becoming fat. And we thought that if I ate fat, I would become fat, when really the body metabolizes fat and grains in a different way. And grains, the carbohydrates we ingest, they'll get metabolized easier as fat. Like, that's the thing that we didn't understand, or we just didn't want to know. But people were so fearful of, you know, talking about fat and blood cholesterol. Well, then I don't eat cholesterol. It's mm-hmm. like, but it's different. Mm-hmm. Dietary cholesterol and blood cholesterol are different. And maybe that was the problem, that our language confused us.
Well, there's a lot of commercial entities in the background misinforming us, but essentially the animal fat helps to regulate our hormones, and weight gain has a lot to do with hormonal function. So what happens with carbohydrates is it throws off our hormones, and as Gary Taubes always talks about in his books and articles, it's carbohydrates that drive insulin and insulin that drives fat. So it's hormonal, but fat doesn't drive fat. You're absolutely right. Fat, if anything, will normalize your hormones and help to make your body arrive at its optimal weight, whatever that may be, hopefully not into obesity. I see a lot of problems, though, when people have damaged their body with carbohydrates, Tom. So when they switch to animal fat, they can run into a lot of trouble because their body has forgotten how to digest the animal fat. So there you might have an exception, but you have to work really, really hard to gradually reintroduce these very nutrient-dense, nourishing, healthy foods back into your diet. It's just really tragic what we're seeing right now with a second, third generation of children who've been coming out of two, three generations of mothers or parents who've been eating a low-fat diet. And now we see the fallout of that, where over 25% of our kids today have some sort of mental disorder. So there's a lot of damage to fix here. And fortunately, the truth is slowly starting to come out, but we have to go backwards and help these people repair the bodies.
Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, joining us from London, Ontario. Quick break in the program. Come back, talk a little more. The book is called Grain Brain. It's by Dr. David Perlmutter, a neurologist, and he's done a lot of research in terms of the role of diet in determining brain health, something Pam Colleen has been extensively interested in and written a book herself about this. We'll come back, talk a little bit more on 610 CKTV. 20 minutes after 11 o'clock, this is News Talk 610 CKTV. Nutritional consultant Pam Colleen joining us from London. Talking about Dr. David Perlmutter's book, Grain Brain, recently on the Dr. Oz Show, telling us that the healthiest diet for our brains is a higher fat, low carb diet. Something that we have flipped in the last 40 years, I'll say. Going back all the way to the 70s, it was like, oh, we got to cut out the fat. And then we ate the same amount of calories, just ate more grains, and we got fatter and sicker as a result, as a society. And Pam, in your book, you talk about this exactly, but you go on. I mean, Perlmutter focuses on degenerative brain conditions like Alzheimer's or dementia, Parkinson's. You look at other brain conditions, and you mentioned talked about ADHD or emotional issues, and sometimes this can trigger, you believe, addictive behavior as well.
70s, Tom, this is when predominantly the low-fat lie hit its hiatus, if you will. It hit its height. And I was one of the first people back in the 80s to collapse with chronic fatigue. There was a huge wave of people in the 80s who started to collapse with things like chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. And I was among that first wave. So diligently in the 70s, of course, I followed a diet low in animal fat because I thought it was going to be good for me. And unfortunately, I had to suffer the consequences of that. And to this day, of course, I see it with my clients. parents who are not just first generation into that myth, but second or perhaps even third generation. I work with very, very young children who are very, very sick because unfortunately their mothers, grandmothers would have been following a low-fat diet. So every generation, we just seem to be getting weaker and weaker and weaker following a diet that is genetically, diametrically opposed to what we should be eating. And so I'm happy to see, though, that gradually more and more medical doctors are catching on to this. And Dr. Perlmutter is yet another doctor who's written a book, The Grain Brain, and Dr. William Davis has written Wheat Belly. We're seeing more and more doctors catching on to the damaging effects of eating too many carbs in the diet, and eventually, hopefully, we can get our universities, our government, and our media to be more cooperative and start putting out the truth. It's a real challenge, Tom, simply because the low-fat myth, there's a lot of money behind it, a lot of interests behind it, and so they're going to do everything they can to maintain control, even though, you know, their myth is making us so sick as a society, and unfortunately so sick that here we see in Ontario, our province is on the verge of bankruptcy because of the healthcare burden.
What's also interesting as well is, and you stress this, and I fully believe it as well, that, you know, you talked about the worst book in the world was called Skinny Bitch. And that our obsession with our waistline, well, maybe noted what we did to our brain, the most important organ we have, our life really stem. You can talk about, oh, you need a strong heart, you need this and this, but really, you need, it all starts with having a strong brain. Mm-hmm. That our obsession with our waistline and not what the nutrition we, as a society, starting as kids all the way up till when we're, you know, of a senior age, we need proper brain health. Other than that, it doesn't matter. Like, if you don't have proper brain health, forget it. Mm-hmm. And so how we're robbing ourselves of this nutrition. What I was encouraged from yesterday watching the clip from Dr. Oz is that it's not it's not exactly reversible, but there's a lot you can do to improve your brain health.
Absolutely. And did you notice twice they referred to the fact that this is the only tool we have?
Yeah.
To help really...
There's no drug.
This is the only tool we have out there. With all the billions of dollars that are being spent on experimental drugs and testing and other procedures. He actually acknowledged, and Dr. Perlmutter acknowledged, that it's really about the animal fats. That's core. That's central to the issue. And that there's very little money to be made to encourage people to eat more animal fat. So we're not hearing enough about it. But like I said earlier, I'm glad we're starting to talk about it more and more.
And he also said, and it was interesting as well, on a little side note, below ground vegetables, he said, basically a potato is a sugar storage for a potato plant. Beets, this is just sugar storage. This is all this is. Above ground vegetables, you'll have no problem with. People are like, oh, what are you talking about? Low sugar fruits. It's like, yeah, low sugar. Blueberries are a great example. Cabbage, spinach, those are fine vegetables to eat because it's not a storage of sugar or starches, like a potato, like corn, like beets, like anything that are tubers that store energy, because the energy they store are carbs. This is what's not good. Spinach, broccoli, cauliflower, go nuts. I mean, go crazy on them. I mean, people are like, oh my gosh, you don't. And it's like, you know what? You can eat that. But yeah. Other things that are just storage of sugars, it's like, well, it's not exactly great.
You have to be a little careful on not over-consuming. But I look at a potato. I mean, I'm Irish and my...
Yeah. Pretty healthy. That you can't, it's not exactly banning them.
I would not eat like a huge amount of potato, but I would use it as an excuse to eat more butter and high-fat sour cream, of course.
But people think it's a vegetable, so what harm can it be?
I know.
But it's like, no. Yeah, you're still, it's like, there's not much difference. As he said, really, there's not much difference between that and a candy bar. Yeah. I'm like, wow. Wow. I don't, but I don't know who's going to hand out potatoes for Halloween tomorrow. However,
exactly.
However, it's interesting.
Tom, last week was a major, major victory having Dr. Oz put this information out, but you alluded to the Swedish government as well.
Yeah, tell me that story.
Major victory, yeah.
Okay, so what happened in Sweden?
Well, the government has changed their dietary guidelines to recommend a high-fat, low-carb diet. They're admitting that they've been wrong all these years promoting a high-carb, low-fat diet. And it was the medical doctors, Tom, who banded together and said to the government, you've got it all wrong. And they actually scanned through 16,000 pieces of scientific literature to come to this conclusion. 16,000, okay? And the government in Britain is saying, oh, well, it's just anecdotal. I mean, they're going to do everything they can to not have to change their minds on the food pyramid.
But I look at the diet in Britain.
Sweden has.
Look at the diet in Britain. And Scotland may be different, but look at the typical British diet and what it is, and you wonder why that nation is so ill.
Well, like, eating a lot of carbs too, but let's not forget, like, the British, typically their diet is traditional foods, lots of animal fat, not so many
the
carbs.
The traditional one is, but the modern one is not.
Yeah, it's as bad as here in North America.
Yeah, their modern diet is takeaway and fish and chips and lager and all sorts of carb-heavy products. Well, anyway. Have a happy Halloween.
I will. You too, Tom.
What are you going to do? Hand out...
We'll look forward to talking to you again in a couple.
Are you going
to
hand out sticks of butter or eggs, or what do you hand out?
I hide.
All right, fair enough. Thanks, Pam.
Thanks, Tom. Take care.
28 minutes after 11 o'clock. Quick break in the program. When we come back...